Do you have an anchor that is grounded and settled and fixed firm in the right place? We sing about it. We need to be sure that we have it, that it is meaningful to us. We read about faith, we talk about faith, we sing about faith. But how strong is your faith this morning? As people get into the later years in life, they begin to wonder if they'll be able to stay firm and stand firm. They'll have the money that is needed to pay their debts and take care of their needs. Is your faith strong enough to meet those times? When there is illness, especially when it comes to us in the younger years, in the middle years, and maybe sometimes we think it's not really fair, do we have faith that is strong enough to anchor us in the right place? When death takes our loved ones and our friends, and when we look death square in the face, do we have a faith that will last and will stand and cannot be shaken? I think even those of you that are students this morning, especially those who may be new students at Fried Hardeman, probably have at least subconsciously thought about the subject of faith and wondered if your faith is strong enough now that you are away from home. And as there are those times that you wonder if you have all that you need, and maybe there will be some difficult times in the area of grades and relationships, is your faith going to be strong enough for you to stand and to have an anchor in the right way? The songs that we have sung this morning have talked about when the difficult times come and the winds blow, we look for a faith that will not shrink. That song, in a sense, was a prayer. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. I believe that's the kind of faith that all of us need. And I would hope the kind that all of us want. It seems to me that there is no better place to look at this subject of faith than in the passage that Stephen read a few minutes ago from 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And I want us to reason for just a few minutes from this particular verse in its context, and then in its larger context of the two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, as we look at the subject of faith. Jesus taught us, if we really believe as we should, that we can pray to God and we can expect our needs to be met. He taught us, if we really believe in Him and God as we should, that we do not even have to have our hearts troubled. And He further stated that if we really believe in Him, it'll make the difference in heaven and hell. The writer of Hebrews defined faith, using the American Standard Version at Hebrews 11, verse 1, as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then in the sixth verse of that chapter said that we need a faith that not only accepts the fact that God exists, but a faith in which we believe that God is a rewarder of those that seek Him. And that we can believe that His promises are true and sure, the promises that He has made in our direction. You and I need that kind of faith as we go about the activities of life. And it is that faith that gives us hope that is the anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6:19. We have an anchor. I suggest to you this morning that that anchor is found in the faith that will stand secure and steadfast no matter what happens. And even you smaller boys and girls might be reminded this morning of the little song that you sing about the wise man and the foolish man. The difference in those two is that one was built on the rock, and that rock was Jesus Christ. And really, it's the faith in Christ that becomes that rock for the wise man as he builds his house that will stand when it rains and when the winds blow and when the floods come. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Do you know why you believe as you do? Do you know what you really believe, what your real philosophy of life, what your ethical approach to matters really is? Is it a faith that will not shrink? It appears to me by observation, particularly, and also the study of God's Word, that faith can be based on one of three possible foundations. And I believe we'll see as we look at Timothy's situation here, which of these is the one that he had. We may have a faith that is sort of based on inheritance. In other words, we are what we are because we grew up in a certain family. And we have done what we have done basically because that's what dad and or mother did, and that's what they told us to do. And we've just sort of come about to the point that we have a faith that has developed mainly because of where we were born and the circumstances that surrounded that in the earlier years of our lives. A second is somewhat like it, but involves a little bit more, and that is a faith that is based almost entirely on tradition. Taking into consideration what was done by the communities where we live, the churches where we have worshiped, the families of which we were a part, we have just sort of come to an idea that this is what I am, this is what I believe, and this is what I do, because that's the way we've always done it. A faith that is based on tradition. Now, certainly, inheritance plays a part. And I, for one, join many of you, I'm sure, this morning in giving thanks to God for the fact that my dad and mother are Christians and have been all my life. And I'm sure that there are some factors involved in who I am today and what I am that come from inheritance, not just physically speaking, but otherwise. And that's not all bad, but is that enough? Likewise, tradition is not all bad. In fact, there may be many good things that we do that are just tradition. You and I have personal habits. Some of them are good. Nothing wrong with those. We do good things every day, sometimes the same time of the day, or every week or every month. We are traditionally involved. We have the habits that have almost become second nature to us. Many of them are good, and that's not bad. But is that enough? If we do what we do just because that's the way we've always done it, is that enough? The third type of foundation that really gives us, I think, the kind of faith that we need is conviction. A faith that is based on conviction. We are convinced and we are convicted that the approach that we're taking to life is the right approach, that it is the basis and foundation for something where we can build a life that will stand. And we have a faith that is based on conviction. What kind of faith do you have this morning? Well, let's look again here at 2 Timothy 1:5. The version that Steve read a moment ago said that Timothy had a sincere faith. The New King James Version says that he had a genuine faith. King James uses the word unfeigned, that means basically pure. But I like that word genuine, that word sincere. Paul said, when I remember you, Timothy, I remember that there is a faith in you. There is a genuine faith in thee that I saw first in thy grandmother Lois and then in thy mother Eunice. Now, did Timothy have an inherited faith? I'm sure in his case, as I said a moment ago, in our cases, that it was a factor. Indication is that Timothy had an excellent mother. His father was not of the Jewish background. The indication is that he had an excellent grandmother, at least for three generations. The kind of faith that Paul is talking about had been in this family. There are some of us here today that can trace back many more generations than that and know of a sincere faith that was present on the part of our ancestors. But is that all that's involved in this faith? Do you think Timothy just did what he did because Eunice had told him to? And she had taken him to worship as they worshiped them then? Even before he became a Christian, and then to worship after he became a Christian? Do you think that's all that was involved in the case of Timothy? I think not. As grateful as Timothy must have been for his mother and for his grandmother, and as much as he had learned from them, I believe we can prove that his faith was more than a faith of inheritance. Well, what about a faith of tradition? By this time, Paul had begun to refer to Timothy as his son in the faith. I mentioned a moment ago that Timothy's father was evidently not involved in the religious training of this son. And he had become associated with the Apostle Paul and no doubt had observed Paul. And I would submit to you that there is probably not a better example of a faith that is anchored than the example of the Apostle Paul. No doubt Timothy may have even been present when some of these difficult times were there for Paul. He may have seen some of the suffering that Paul had done. He had seen some of the successes that Paul had had. And he had no doubt noted in his own mind how Paul went about doing certain things. And so at this point, Timothy had the advantage of his mother and his grandmother and Paul, and I'm sure many others, as far as having had the opportunity to observe them. And so he might have come to a point where what he was doing was basically traditional. This is the way we've always done it. And again, I'm sure those factors were involved. A young man like Timothy, having the opportunity to be associated with an older preacher of the gospel like Paul, undoubtedly would learn from Paul and would begin to do things maybe as Paul did them. But if he had a faith that was just based on tradition, would it have been enough? Look back at the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 7. And you find Paul saying, Timothy, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Notice particularly the word fables. He was saying, Timothy, do not base your faith on stories that you've heard, or ways that people have done things, or fables that are told. That's not where it is. And then in the sixth chapter at verse 20, he says, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely so called. He said, Timothy, you're not even to base your faith on the teaching that you hear concerning science and people's attitudes toward that. That's not where you get your faith. That's not where the foundation for it is. And so we conclude that Timothy had more than a faith based on tradition. Inheritance, tradition, conviction. Conviction. I submit to you this morning, number one, that that's the kind of faith Timothy had, and number two, that's the kind of faith you and I need. Look at the word genuine. The word that is translated genuine or sincere in God's word carries with it at least the idea that there is no veneer on the outside. You have a piece of furniture, it looks like it's the real thing. You get to looking at it, and there is a covering on the outside. There is what we call the veneer. But then you get a piece of furniture that is real oak, or really walnut, all the way to the outside. What you see on the outside is exactly what you see on the inside if you get inside that plank or that piece of furniture. I believe that word here in 2 Timothy 1:5 indicates to us that Timothy had a faith that was more than inheritance and tradition. He said, I see in you a genuine faith. Yes, it was like the faith that his mother had and his grandmother had. But notice, secondly, he says, I see this faith in thee also. In thee. It was a faith that was in Timothy. It was something he had. In thee also. A little later in this second letter, beginning at chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, notice, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you know the next two verses that talk about the scripture being inspired and giving us, furnishing us with everything that we need. But notice now in verse 14 and verse 15, he says, Timothy, this faith is something you have learned. Not just heard it. Not just been aware that it was in the life of somebody else, but he said, you have learned it. When you and I learn something, that really suggests that it becomes a part of us. He said, you have a faith that is learned. Notice also he says that this is a faith which is based on the Holy Scriptures. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that produce this faith. Taking into consideration Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and how we need to dig into it and to let it produce our faith, we are impressed, I hope, with the fact that the faith that Timothy had was based on the Holy Scriptures. This wasn't just on some feeling that he had, something that somebody else had told him, some wishful thinking. Timothy's faith was based on the Holy Scriptures. And notice also that he had been taught these Scriptures from a child up. Timothy's faith hadn't developed just overnight. There may very well have been a time earlier in his life when his faith was not as strong as it now is, because his faith had developed from a child up to where now, as a young man, Timothy may have been near 40 at this time. Now, as a young man, having been taught God's word again and again and again, and here's where his mother and grandmother really came into play. He had something where he could stand, something that was secure. Another statement that's made in this passage is that his faith was in Christ. He had his roots grounded in the right place and in the right person. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he had a faith that would stand. He had a faith that was enough for salvation. Notice he says, from a child thou hast been made known or been taught, learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. Timothy's faith was sufficient. It was enough that he might have salvation from his past sins and the promise of eternal salvation. But I think the one word that stands out in this passage that is so meaningful is the word assured. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You know, that's the one thing that you and I really need when it comes to the subject of faith. We need assurance. We need assurance that our sins have been forgiven. We need assurance that if something were to happen to us and we never saw the light of another day, that we have the promise of heaven as an eternal home. We need the assurance that when we face those difficulties aforementioned, that we have that Savior who said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In this world, in the world to come. Now that's the kind of faith that we need. A faith that gives us the assurance that all our needs will be met. And somehow or other, when we face those difficulties, even those difficulties that we now imagine, if they become real, that we will have the strength in our faith and our relationship to Christ and God to stand up, to stand firm, and to never be shaken by the storms of this life. A faith that is based on assurance. And that's one of the reasons that I especially like the translation of the American Standard Version in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. You and I have never been to heaven, but because of a faith that is based on God's word and a faith that is rooted in Jesus Christ, we believe it as strongly as if we'd been there. We are assured. And we are convicted and convinced. Though we have not seen these things, we have not seen God face to face, we have not seen Jesus Christ, but we are convicted, we are convinced that He is our Savior. And that with Him, somehow or other, we'll be able to stand, and having done all, to stand, as mentioned in that description and with that description of the Christian armor. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. A faith that is based on God's word, that is rooted in Jesus Christ, where we have the assurance that somehow or other, even with the difficulties in life, that these things are going to fit together for our good and to God's glory, and that the end result will be the very best that it can be. A faith based on inheritance is not enough. A faith based on tradition will not stand. But a faith that stands on assurance and conviction can meet anything that comes in life. That's the kind of anchor that you and I need. And it's interesting that here he says, continue in this faith. And it was not until Paul was ready to die, maybe just a few days before his death, that he said, "I have kept the faith." And probably at the same opening in your Bible, at least in mine, where we read 2 Timothy 1:5, just up the page is 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 that says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the good fight of faith. And right after that, he says, lay hold on eternal life. Do you have a faith this morning that's anchored where you know it's yours, based on God's word, with the help of Christ, ready to meet whatever comes, to enjoy the good times and face the difficult times, with a faith that is anchored in Jesus Christ? If you don't, you need to do something about it. How can we say that we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and not obey Him? Just doesn't add up. How can we say that we really have a strong faith? We're not Christians, we're not faithful Christians. It just doesn't sound reasonable. It may be this morning that some of you need to come and be baptized into Christ, express that faith and put it to work and let it grow. Or maybe come back asking for forgiveness, that that faith may be strengthened. A faith that will not shrink. And if you don't have it, you need to resolve to do something about it, as together we stand and sing.